Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Let's bring in, live from Augusta, Georgia, the great Ian O'Connor. He, the author of the best-selling book about Coach K, but he's covering the Masters for the Post, and he joins us now. Hello, Ian. How you doing?
What's up, Michael? Hi, guys.
What's up?
So are you as excited about most of the golf media that Tiger's going to play?
I think most, more than any sport has ever needed anyone, I think golf needs Tiger Woods because it's not one of the major sports. It's sort of been, over the years, a fringe sport, at least before he arrived and turned it into something a lot bigger. You look at the Masters without Tiger Woods. Yes, it's still the Masters. It's the most prestigious tournament in golf. But when he's playing and when he believes he can win, it turns it into a major event for people who don't really care that much about golf, yeah. Except for maybe Don, outside of Don and a few others. But it really just changes the whole calculus of the Masters and any other tournament that he's in. And I would say more so than basketball needed Jordan. I mean, you just name it. I just don't think it's ever been close where a sport needed a particular athlete more than golf needs Tiger Woods.
And I think if you love the sport of golf, I think that's where the giddiness comes from. We spent a good portion of the first hour trying to figure out why people just get over the top for their love of Tiger, and I think that's what it's about, right? If you follow golf and love it and it's your number one sport, it is 100 times more relevant when he's involved in it, and I think that's what it stems from because once he's gone, Ian, it really changes the landscape. And when he was gone, you saw the landscape was changed.
Yeah, no question, Don. And my son, who's 26, he's not a golf fan at all. But in 2019, when Tiger on Sunday was making his run to win his fifth green jacket, he said he was transfixed by it. Like he couldn't turn away from the TV because it was Tiger. And so he's the first time in his prime. I don't know if I guess it's still true, but Tiger was probably, as a golfer of all things, one of the three or four most recognizable men on the planet. Mm-hmm. And you would never say that about a golfer in the past, even Arnold Palmer way back when. So it makes people who don't care a lick about golf, if he's contending. Now, if he misses the cut, then certainly the weekend will be a different story. But if he's there on Sunday with any sort of chance, that is going to be a huge, huge international story for people who don't really care about golf even. And I think if he wins, I already think 2019, that Masters is probably the greatest sporting event I've covered in 36 or 37 years of doing this. But if he wins this weekend, that'll make that tournament feel small in comparison, which is hard to believe.
I was making the case earlier, Ian, that I feel that, you know, golf is a game that a lot of us find as adults. And because Tiger is so by far the best and most culturally important in this sport, the only one that as adults we can continue to play and try to improve at, I feel like it just resonates in a different way. And then you factor on top of that we've been rooting for him for 30 years. It's not some kid who's 24. It's not rooting for Ronald Acuna Jr. It's rooting for someone who we've seen become an adult with us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Peter, I think that's true. And he won his first Masters 25 years ago. So this is the anniversary of that. And I think that's true. You can play golf until you're about 80 years old. You can't do that with the other sports. And also, he's been through, and a lot of it is self-inflicted. And so how you feel about that is how you feel about that. People have different views on whether or not we should look at Tiger in any sort of sympathetic way. But self-imposed or not, it's a lot of things he's come back from. And people, I think American sports fans like a story of redemption, even though winning in sports is not really redemptive, frankly. But I think that people see him aging, becoming at least a slightly better person, and really seems to be, by all accounts, a good father, and just becoming more relatable and touchable and approachable in the last few years, that they see him making a little bit of an effort to be a better human being. And the scars and the comebacks, people, sports fans love that. And so even though much of it was self-imposed, I just was out here yesterday watching him practice with Fred Couples and Justin Thomas. It was unbelievable. It was like a Sunday at the Masters where Tiger was in the lead. But I've never seen such a gallery or crowd in my life on a Monday. And the atmosphere was off the charts. So I can't imagine what it would be like on the weekend. And you're right. I think there's an age thing going on there. But I still think when it's Tiger, if he has a chance Sunday, a lot of young fans will gravitate toward the TV screen to watch because it's Tiger.
Now, I said earlier, Ian, he's not going to play unless he thinks he has a decent chance to win or a chance to win. But is it realistic after everything he's gone through that he could actually win?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, it is, Michael.
How's that possible?
Yes. Well, because he said today, like, I thought he was going to come to the press conference and say, listen, based on, I know I've always said I will never enter a tournament I don't believe I can win. I thought today he was going to say, I still think I have a chance, but I have to manage my expectations because I almost had my leg amputated 13 months ago. But he didn't say that. He said he just talked like Tiger talks. He just acted like he believes he will win. And when you think of Tiger, Michael Jordan, Serena Williams, Tom Brady, when those people say something, they earn the benefit of the doubt. You have to believe it, even though it's unbelievable. But if Tiger Woods, and just looking at him and listening to him and looking at his body language, I was surprised that he had that same approach today. But when there's a small – Wayne Gretzky, of course, there's a small handful of athletes that when they say something, you absolutely have to believe it if they do, because they've proven it so often in the past that they can do things that nobody else can do. So, yes, I mean, is it possible he'll miss the cut? Of course. Maybe he's totally wrong, and he's got no clue how hard it's going to be in competition with his leg. And he is hobbling around like an old man. I mean, the great thing about golf for him is it's stationary. He's delivered his greatness from a stationary position against his opponents. He's not a shooting guard. He's not a shortstop, and so he doesn't have to run. The problem's going to be for 72 holes is walking between his great moments. But when he hits the golf ball, I'll say this, and you can even go back to December when he played with his son, he still hits it about as good as anyone in the world at age 46, despite everything that he's endured. So I think, yes, he does have a legitimate chance to win on Sunday, which is a remarkable thing to say.
So, yeah, before I even heard him speak or even heard that, Ian, I thought, what an amazing story it would be for him just to be able to make the cut and be playing this weekend. But is it believable enough, conceivable enough, that making the cut really wouldn't be that big of a story? Is it almost expected that he will by people there?
Yeah, I think based on what he said today, Don, I think going into this morning, people thought if he made the cut, that is a huge story. But he has now set the expectations of winning right there publicly. So I think it would be a disappointment if he made the cut and finished 21st. I think people now suspect and expect that Tiger on Sunday morning will wake up within four or five shots of the lead. And I have to say, I mean, Fred Couples is a dear friend of Tiger's. They text every day, so he's a little biased. But he played nine holes with him yesterday. I was out there for about five of them. And he said he's hitting it right now as good as basically he ever has. He's hitting it as good as Justin Thomas, who Freddie said, I believe is still, despite the rankings right now, one of the two or three best players in the world. So, of course, if he can walk, he will contend. So that's a guy who's 62 years old, who's been around forever, watched it for nine holes and said, yes, he can contend and win. So I think just making the cut and not being a factor on the weekend would be a disappointment.
How much has he actually, like in your experience, you know, covering events that he's playing at, how much has he actually changed in terms of the way he interacts with not just the media, but the gallery and regular people as well? Is it a real noticeable difference?
Yes. And even yesterday on the second hole, he teed off and fans are yelling, whatever. And as he walked by one fan who got his attention, he yelled out, "Hey, Tiger, you're the best. We're all for you," whatever. And Tiger looked at him and nodded and said, "Thank you. Thank you for being here." And he never would have done that. I know it's a minor thing. And I remember 3 years ago, I sat at his table at an awards function, and he reached over and extended his hand and said, "Hey, Ian, what's going on?" And I shook his hand, and I remember telling my wife, that is a very minor thing. I said, there is no way 5 years ago Tiger Woods would have offered his hand, and first anyway. And so these are minor things, but with him, because he wore that do not disturb sign around his neck all the time. And he's now removed that at least part of the time. And I think that's a big part of the reason why fans have really embraced him in the later stages of his career. Jack Nicklaus underwent a similar transformation, but Nicklaus was never as big a global figure as Tiger is, not even close. But when Jack saw how popular Arnold Palmer was, he wanted a little taste of that later in his career. I think Tiger being humbled, being broken as a man spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every way, has really enjoyed that part of it. Unfortunately, it's too bad he didn't realize that earlier in his career, but it's a nice thing to see as he's approaching his sunset.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're talking with Ian O'Connor of the New York Post. He's live in Augusta, and he will be covering the Masters. You are also in New Orleans on Saturday, and you kind of got, I guess, the ending to the paperback version of your book, Coach K.
That's right.
And I got to tell you, Ian, I have no connection to this guy. I didn't go to Duke. You know all this. And I was devastated the way it ended. I mean, I can't think of a worse way for it to end. You were there. It seemed like he handled himself well. But we had on Jay Williams yesterday, and we both agreed that of all the success and all the gifts that he's had in his life, that game is going to be the thing he thinks about on his deathbed. Do you agree?
He shouldn't. I mean, he really shouldn't. You might be right, Michael. I think that would be a terrible thing when you consider he's won more than 1,200 games, 5 national titles, 13 Final Fours, and he's going to have that thought in his dying days. But yeah, it's the last school in the world he wanted to lose to in his final game. I do think, though, if you told him, listen, here's the deal. You're going to lose to North Carolina in the first ever NCAA tournament game between the two rival schools in the Final Four, or we're going to have you lose to Michigan State in the second round like they should have, down 5 with 5 minutes left against a tough, if mediocre, but a tough Tom Izzo team. I still think he would have picked the Final Four.
Oh, I don't know. I'd rather lose to Michigan State.
In the second round?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'll tell you why. I think it was big. He could never catch John Wooden in national titles. It was big to him to break his Final Four record, to pass him, and to break that tie at 12-12. So he could say, I got to the Final Four more than John Wooden did, 13-12, and I did it in a much tougher time to do it than Wooden had to deal with. So his kids gave him a journey. Yeah. If they lose to Michigan State, there's no journey.
Well, never mind losing to Michigan State. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ian.
No, one last thing, Don. He's got 5 national titles. That's the combined total of Roy Williams and Dean Smith. He also has barely a winning record. He retires against North Carolina at 50-48, I believe, personal winning record. So he at least has those two things to fall back on. I've got my 5 national titles, and that's Dean Smith and Roy Williams combined.
And there is prestige of going to the Final Four and having, you know, that kind of an audience, you know, see the end. You know, to me, a worse thing would be, you know, not making the tournament, losing to Appalachian State in the NIT. I mean, that to me is not the way Coach K should go out. So it stinks, but there are worse ways, and I just think to lose on that kind of a platform. I'm with you, Ian. I don't think it's as devastating to him, because when he walks away, he's got a whole career to look at.
Right, and it was a worthy game. It was a classic game, one of the great games I've ever seen. That building was just, the atmosphere was unbelievable, 70,000-plus fans. You're right, losing in the NIT or going out with that COVID year, missing the NCAA tournament last year, he could not end his career on that. But at the very least, he's in the Final Four. He breaks Wooden's record. Okay, he lost to Carolina. By the way, Carolina also did not win the national title, so he didn't have to deal with that.
Yep.
And again, I think it's big to him that he could say Dean Smith, Roy Williams combined equals my legacy in terms of championships.
And listen, this was a good Duke team, but let's be real. It wasn't his best Duke team. It was a team that many people thought the 2 seed was too high. So while yes, it's a killer that it was North Carolina, this run that they went on was not guaranteed. It's a hell of a run. I mean, I hear Michael. You know, he's obviously motivated in a crazy way, but man, that would be sad if the rest of his life he's thinking about why not one more.
Yeah, right. And at the end of the day, Carolina didn't win the national title either. He could comfort himself by saying that. We both had heartbreaking losses. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I can't buy into losing to Michigan State. And it would have been a non-journey if that happened. And really, all of us sitting there in South Carolina who had watched Duke this year, like Peter said, that was not a great Duke team. We all thought they were losing that game. Those kids rallied in the final 5 minutes and delivered that for him and for each other as well. But they gave him a journey. That's what he wanted, one more journey. It fell a little short, but I think he definitely would have signed up for that over an early exit. Without question.
We welcome in. Yes, they have joined us after the Yankees lost their final spring training game to the Tigers. We're talking with Ian O'Connor, New York New York Post sports columnist. He's in Augusta. He was in New Orleans on Saturday. Ian, I was kind of stunned when Jay Williams brought this up yesterday. I want to run it past you. I mean, other than his family, you've gotten inside this guy's head more than anybody by talking to people. Jay Williams said he would not be surprised if he comes back because he could not lose like that. You agree?
Well, I have to respect Jay Will's institutional knowledge. He knows so many people, and he's really good at what he does. I think there's no way in hell that's going to happen. I think there's no way Duke could allow that to happen. If he said, I wanted to come back, if he decides in the next week or so, I think Duke would say, no, we can't go through a victory tour like this and then take it all back. First of all, he took a lot of criticism for announcing it in advance, unlike Roy Williams and Dean Smith and others. To now run that back at age 76? 75 going on 76? No way.
Tom Brady did it.
Yeah, Tom Brady at age 44 was one of the best players in the league and had talked openly about 45 and beyond. We had a conversation 5 years ago where we were talking about maybe him playing age 50. I remember that in a phone call with him, at least 47, 48. So it made no sense for him to step aside when he did. Coach K, I mean, at 75, I'm sorry. And after this entire celebration all year, you cannot run that back.
And the other thing, too, is that now you're chasing a dream at 75, right? Like, you come back next year because you can't have a loss like that, and you have the scenario that I painted where you have to settle for the NIT. Well, I got to come back again because I didn't get to the NCAA tournament. And then it just becomes sad. As heartbreaking as it was, it's still the way to go rather than chase something down and then just look like a character of yourself as you're chasing something that's not going to happen.
Yeah, no question, Don. I have to say, since that loss and traveling from New Orleans here to Augusta, I'm surprised at the amount of people, very intelligent people, who asked me that question. I think it's totally off the board, and I will come on again and admit I was completely wrong if it happened. I think there's a 0% chance that he's coming back. Jay Will is really connected and maybe he knows something I don't. But I, if I'm Duke, if I'm the university, first of all, after he got involved in the succession plan, and really they wanted Tommy Amaker, and he delivered John Shire and pushed him through, now you're going to coach again? No. Duke, I really don't believe the university would allow it.
All right, so
I think it's off the board.
Well, maybe he goes back and coaches Army. You never know. But anyway, let's think about let's think about it this way, and we'll finish up with what we were talking a lot about yesterday. I was startled, Ian, at the amount of vitriol and enmity toward this guy, who, for the most part, I mean, I read your whole book. He's a decent man who hasn't done anything terrible. His program, as far as we know, has been run very, very clean. And people seemed joyous that he went out in such a painful way. So let me let you be dime store psychologist. Where's the hate from? Where's it coming from?
Some of it is Duke was sort of like the Yankees and the Celtics and the Lakers and the Patriots, these franchises that win all the time and people get sick of it. And the idea of the holier-than-thou approach of the only clean program left in America, that bothered people. And sometimes, listen, the guy's flawed. And I think I wrote about those flaws extensively in the book. But you're right. He's never done anything terrible, not even close. And I saw on Twitter what was trending after the game was Coach L.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? That's the best we're going to do for this guy who won 1,200-plus games, 13 Final Fours, and Coach L is trending on Twitter? I mean, Twitter is what it is, right? But that took the cake. I think he deserves a little more than that. But, so I would explain it as people who get tired of getting beaten by that school, by that team, by him, and he is flawed and sometimes comes across as arrogant and too sensitive. But, man, I just thought he deserved a better ending than that.
The thing that gets me, though, Ian, though, if that's the prism in which you're viewing this, right, nobody won more than the Yankees under Joe Torre. He got cheered in Boston when he came back from cancer. And you've got Derek Jeter when he retired. He got cheered in Boston. So did Mariano. They pounded Boston over and over again. I don't think there was anything that they would. North Carolina, they were selling T-shirts, Coach K's funeral, kicking him into a grave.
I've tried, Ian. I always try to explain. As someone who was from an opposing school during his prime, it's sort of indescribable the way he strikes people if you root against him. I'm not saying it's right, but I do understand.
Yeah, and listen, Carolina did nothing for him in his farewell tour, and I had no problem with that. I had no problem with that. Remember, these people, it's not like the Yankees and Red Sox. These people live 6, 7, 8, 9 miles away from each other. You can't get away from it. You're going to the same stores and schools and banks and everything else as Carolina and Duke fans are always together.
Right.
So there's no escaping it. And I think when the Yankees in 04 blew the historic 3-0 lead to the Red Sox in the ALCS, well, Yankee fans, there is some separation between Boston and New York. There's no separation between the Duke and Carolina fan bases. So the consequences of losing that Final Four game were so profound that I do think Coach K will always think about that. But on the other hand, it's just, I think the overall journey is a positive thing. And hopefully he'll get to that point where he can accept that.
All right, now, Ian, before we let you go, I don't want to get you thrown out of Augusta, but all we hear about is these sandwiches for $1.20. Are they trash or are they decent sandwiches?
You are trying to get me thrown out of here. You're not even allowed. This is the last place in America you cannot use a cell phone. If you get caught with a cell phone in your pocket, you're thrown out.
Are you serious? And I mean, what's wrong with these people?
Out on the course, if you leave even the media building, which is a beautiful building built recently, and one time years ago, I shouldn't even admit this, but I accidentally walked out with my cell in my pocket, and I took 3 steps out of the building. This is the old building, near the first hole, and I stopped and I froze, and I realized what I had done, this heinous felony I'd committed, that my cell phone was in my pocket. And I turned around and quietly walked back in and hoped nobody noticed that phone in my pocket. So it is the sandwiches are fine,
sickening.
But it is people have a hard time really accepting the cell phone part of it. And even doing this interview, I'm standing outside the building. I'm not even sure I'm allowed to be doing this, but I am doing it anyway because it's Michael K. Show and you know
that's right.
You guys. So
I would love to be get thrown out of there. That would be a highlight of my career.
Don, let's go down there and flaunt our cell phones and get thrown out. Let's do it.
Nah.
All right, Ian, enjoy the week in Augusta. I hope it's a great story for you, and we thank you for coming on, and continued good luck with the Coach K book.
That was my pleasure as always, guys. Thanks, Michael.
You got it. That's Ian O'Connor of the New York Post. You could read his coverage of the Masters in the Post throughout the week.
You know, I'm kind of wondering, and I was going to ask Ian before we let him go, but I still think the Tar Heel fan will look fondly at this season because they ended Coach K's career. But the cherry on top would have been the championship, and now they've got to also live with the fact that they blew the biggest lead in the history of the finals and lose. So does that balance out what they did on Saturday by blowing the lead the way they did? I know they were an 8 seed and they were an underdog and all that, but still, that was a tough way to go out, despite
what
happened on Saturday.
Let's talk about that when we get back. I mean, what will they remember? The fact that they blew a 15-point lead at the half, or that they beat Duke in Krzyzewski's final game? 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.